I'm Pastor Lau from our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at about 9:05. Our Savior's is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. Sunday services are at 8 and 10:30, indoor with masks and distancing, or you can listen from the parking lot on your car radio. We also have a full service each Wednesday afternoon at 1:30. Please join us for Christian worship, education, fellowship, and service. Today we begin the season of Advent, a new church year. We have told the whole story of Jesus, our Savior, and now we start telling it again. But the season of Advent isn't just about waiting for the birth of a baby, even if that baby is the Son of God. He is that, but there is so much more going on as well. The message of these 4 weeks of Advent is a deep one, a confusing one, but a very important one for people like us who seem to do a whole lot of waiting for the Lord. In the Old Testament reading from Isaiah today, we hear the prophet calling upon God to rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at his presence. Now that's a familiar theme even to us. When God seems distant and things seem to be going the opposite direction of what God has promised, we call upon him to come and do all the great things which he has promised. And God has promised quite a lot. Just think about it. Way back in the Garden of Eden, God had promised to Adam and Eve that he would crush the devil and destroy the sin, sorrow, suffering, and death that he had brought into the world by tempting our first parents. And we can relate to that. Have you ever wanted God to just get it done? To make good on all his promises to do something about sin, sorrow, and suffering? When someone you love is ill, or when you see the suffering of your child, God forbid, don't you want to just skip all the bad news and skip to the good news of the resurrection and the life everlasting? I think that this is why books like Heaven is for Real and stories about people who've died and met loved ones in the new creation, I think that's why they're so appealing. It is because we all have people that we would like to see again, to be with again, without the trouble or the sorrow, the suffering, or the death. So Isaiah cries out to God, "In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved?" It's like he's saying, "Hey God, haven't we waited long enough? Haven't we suffered enough? You keep saying that you're going to save us, but when will that be?" You see, all God's people wait, and sometimes not very patiently. We wait for the Lord God to show us and show the whole world who He is and what He can do. Enough of this living by faith. There are times when I just want to see God rock on this world and settle things once and for all. So in Advent, we get some of that as we wait for the Lord. We wait for His justice and His vengeance and His vindication and His power and His salvation. That's when we're sick of the waiting. So Isaiah says, "Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not the guilt forever. Look, please look, we are all your people." In the second reading today, we hear the Apostle Paul talking about a second kind of waiting that we do. This time, God has already become man, and He has already earned our salvation, and Jesus has ascended to the right hand of God, where He is now already the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we're still here, waiting, living by faith. God came to earth as Isaiah had begged Him to do, but He came not with His vengeance and power and justice and judgment against the wicked. Instead, God came in Christ with His grace and His mercy and His love. It's like He broke into two parts all that God had promised to do. The first time, when He came to earth, born as a humble child, as a baby in a stable and laid in a manger, He came as one of us so that He could take our place in bearing the power and the justice of the judgment of God. You see, if God is going to come to earth to judge the living and the dead, we had better first make sure that we're not the ones who get judged and condemned for our guilt and our sinfulness. So the first time God came to earth in Christ our Savior, He did so to take upon Himself the sins of the world, the judgment of God, and the penalty of death and condemnation which was to be ours. So now, for all who believe in Him, we can wait for our Lord's second coming with confidence that when He returns, we won't be judged for sin, because Jesus has already taken away our sins. We won't be condemned for our rebellion and guilt before God, because Jesus has already taken the condemnation which should have been ours. And because of all that, we know that when Jesus comes again, it won't result in our death, because God's perfection and God's glory destroys us. Rather, when Jesus comes the next time, we will be brought safely into the kingdom of His glory, where we will see God ourselves and not be destroyed. One way to think of this is to imagine having someone come to get you out of jail. This can happen in two ways. It can be to take you to court, where you will be tried and convicted and sentenced for the rest of your life. Or it can be to set you free forever, with no more charges, no more judgment, and no more penalty hanging over your head. Jesus came to do the first one for us. Sure, we remained in jail for a while He went to court, was convicted for our sins, and paid the penalty on our behalf. But we know that He did this with the promise to return and set us free forever. We want God to save us, as the prophet Isaiah cried out for all of us, but He does this in two parts. First, He comes in humility to be judged, to suffer, and to die. And now we wait for Him to come again to take us from this place of suffering and sorrow into the freedom and joy of the kingdom of heaven. So we're kind of stuck in between the moment between our Savior's first coming and His second coming. We can't really talk about just the day of our Lord's return without remembering what it was like before He came and did what needed to be done the first time. And neither should we pretend like we don't know what He's already done. As a result, the season of Advent can be a bit confusing. So the Gospel reading from St. Mark today, which seems so out of place at first, is supposed to bring these two things together as we start the season of Advent again. It's the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. the beginning of the celebration of the Passover, 5 days before his arrest, suffering, and crucifixion, but 7 days before his resurrection. On the one hand, we hear the shouts of praise for Jesus, the Son of David and the Son of God. He is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, that is, with the power and purpose of God himself. On the other hand, we also know what he has come to do. He has come to take our sins and therefore our place in death, which is by itself a mixture of joy and sorrow for him and for us. This is Advent. It is three kinds of waiting. We remember the waiting before God came to save us, just as we wait for the celebration of our Savior's birth. We remember the waiting through sorrow and death, which came before our Lord's victory in the resurrection on Easter Sunday. And we remember that we are now only waiting for one more thing, for the Lord to finish our salvation by bringing us into his kingdom of glory. Go back with me to the image of the prisoner waiting to be set free. He saw his Savior come to take his place in the judgment and in the penalty. He knows that the judgment has been given and the penalty has been paid in full, and now he is waiting for the door of his cell to be flung open and for that happy day when he will be set free. That's us. First, Jesus came to you in your baptism. He adopted you as his brother or sister and as a fellow child of God. If he hadn't, there would have been no hope for us. But he did. And now Jesus comes to us with his message of hope and forgiveness and salvation, so that we might live in confidence and joy. Yeah, we're living by faith now, because we still haven't experienced the day when our burden is lifted, and we are living free of sin and sorrow in the kingdom of heaven. But our Lord does strengthen us in the faith daily, as we hear his promises, and as we gather each week to feed upon the life he gives in his body and blood. And we know that just as he came to earth to save us, so he came to each one of us in baptism. And we know that just as Jesus rose from the dead, so we know that our salvation has been accomplished. And as we know that Jesus has gone into the kingdom of heaven, so we know he will return to bring us there to be with him in glory. Advent is all of that at once, which makes it a bit confusing at first, because we're looking at the past, the present, and the future, all at the same time. But maybe it will help to think of this as a children's sermon, with just a simple point. Advent is three kinds of waiting at once. First, we're waiting for the celebration of God giving his greatest gift, Jesus. Just as children are excited for Christmas gifts, so we get excited about God's gift of his Son. Second, we're waiting for Jesus to come into our lives every day by his word and his spirit and his gifts. Just as children are excited not only to receive gifts, but also to play with them or to use them. So we want to more than just know that God loves us. We want to experience that in our everyday lives. And finally, in our waiting each year and each day, we also are reminded of our waiting for what is still to come. There's always more gifts from God to be given and received. And the best is still to come, as we wait for the day when we will be brought into the kingdom of heaven. So Advent will make a whole lot more sense if we just remember that there are three kinds of waiting going on here. The waiting of the past, our waiting in the present, and the waiting of all God's people for the great blessings which are still to come. The birth of our Savior at Christmas night is just a part of it, an important part, to be sure, because it shows that God is making good on his promises. But just as he fulfilled that one, you can be sure that he will fulfill the next. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.